There's been a big tennis upset in Australia.
Top seed Serena Williams has been upset in the fourth round of the Australian Open. The five-time former champion beaten in three sets by the 14th seed Ana Ivanovic. The Serbian secured her first career win over Williams on her fifth attempt and did it by exploiting an unreliable Williams serve and by crushing 20 forehand winners past the top seed. Ivanovic pulled off one of the biggest surprises to date at the Australian Open, 4-6, 6-3, 6-3. They take an hour and 56 minutes. Graham Agars, Melbourne.
Australia is still battling almost 100 wildfires, a woman told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. The intense flames are frightening.
You just didn't know what was happening. The big flames going up when you get to the pine trees, and it was very frightening.
All of the folks who evacuated their homes in the face of a wildfire last week in Southern California are now back home. I'm Ross Simpson, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
Everybody, welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis on this beautiful Sunday morning in January. This is the first Sunday I can remember where I can actually see blue sky here.
What?
It's been gray and grim and raining and all that. It's been horrible.
That's not true.
Okay, right. It hasn't been.
It's been pretty good.
Welcome to my marriage. Hello, everybody. All right, so we got a rocking show today. Allison Victoria is with her. She's a celebrity.
With us.
With her? With you? With her? She is with her.
Okay.
She's also with us. She's the very well-known interior designer and host of DIY Network's Kitchen Crashers. So if you got a crappy kitchen, pay attention. You're going to find out all kinds of cool stuff.
We have a crappy kitchen, so I'm totally paying attention.
Thanks, honey.
Okay.
Take my pants off on the radio here.
I haven't even begun.
I'm about to, actually. Okay.
Later in the show, we'll be talking with Joan Nathan. She's been in every year to talk about the annual Sips and Sups, that huge event that happens.
You mean world-famous cookbook author, Joan?
World-famous cookbook author. She can't hear us, so she can't preen. But anyway, we're really looking forward to talking to her about the annual Sips and Sups. It takes place every year. Chefs from all over the country come in to cook at these two great events that help raise funds for DC Central Kitchen and for Miriam's Table. Right? Miriam's Table? Martha's Table. Thank you. Martha's Table. Miriam's another one.
Miriam's trying to get into it, but they won't
let her. Okay.
She's so pushy.
And lots of you have heard about the new restaurant opening up, Menu by Frederick Depew. It's opening up later this week. He's in studio. He's going to give us the 411.
Seriously, one of the nicest guys in the entire world.
He's such a good guy.
And I'm saying that in front of you.
I know. And just recently opened Bidwell at the very spectacular Union Market is Chef John Mooney. He's in studio. He's going to tell us all about what he's doing down there.
All right, and two old friends, two good friends, Jade Floyd and Michelle.
Yeah, because they're not old.
Well, they're not. They're young and hot. Just in case anything ever happens with me and Nikki, hang out.
Yeah.
They are with Early Mountain Vineyards, and you guys know that we've done a couple of remotes from Early Mountain Vineyards down in Madison, Virginia. And mm-hmm. But they're here because they're also involved in Sips and Sups. I'm going to say you're the wine sponsor, even though you're one of two, right?
We are the private VIP event with Eric Asimov and Alice Waters.
But that's at Sips, right? On Saturday
Sips.
Night?
Yep.
Okay,
Saturday
so why don't we talk about what you guys are doing? Let's just get right into it. So have you guys been to Sips? Have you been before?
This is my first year. This is Michelle.
Okay.
Involved with Sips, so I'm really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's our winery, Early Mountain Vineyards. We're pouring one of the wines we'll have this morning in studio, mm-hmm. as well as RDV. Rucker DeVinck's winery.
Which is like one of the hottest wines coming out of Virginia right now.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? He's getting a lot of buzz.
Yes, he defines what cult wine can be in Virginia.
I love when we start the day with wine. It's
the best way to start. You have to start the day with wine.
Salud.
People who don't start their day with wine have a problem.
Spend 2 minutes because Early Mountain Vineyards isn't just your run of the mill vineyards down there. It's owned by Steve and Jean Case. And it's an unbelievable facility. I mean, it's just, it's like Disney World. It's the cleanest, neatest,
okay,
most...
it's so pretty. It is not like Disney World.
No, no.
It's
I mean, it's
beautiful.
Like Disney World in the sense that it's pristine and clean. But talk, you know, give us 2 minutes on the vineyard itself.
Absolutely. So Early Mountain Vineyards, we're in Madison, Virginia, which is an hour and a half away from D.C., southwest, just 30 minutes north of Charlottesville. And it is unlike what you would normally see in these parts in terms of our winery and our facility. The tasting room and event space is over 8,000 square feet. So, and Gene Case is really the moving force behind our winery and the vineyard and our vision. And just the design, the space.
It looks like a ski shell.
I mean, it looks like Ralph Lauren designed it. I mean, the colors, the palette is so beautiful. And the way the, you know, that big, massive fireplace in the center and then that gorgeous fireplace outside with the pop of orange. Who designed it?
Well, she actually worked with a designer out of Richmond.
Jade, you need to put your face right in front of that mic. Please.
She worked with a designer out of Richmond, and okay, it's very reflective of Jean's style. Even in our offices here in D.C., there's a lot of earth tones. It's very relaxing. She wanted to have a sense of place where you can come in and have, you know, breakfast with your family at the marketplace or lunch, mm-hmm, and really have it be reflective of being in a home and a relaxing environment.
Well, she pulled that off.
Well, I mean, that's such a perfect segue for our next guest. I hate to even break it, but just tell us quickly what you poured, Michelle.
So the first wine is Pinot Gris. This mm-hmm is the 2012 vintage from Early Mountain.
Okay.
It is an estate Pinot Gris bottling, and it's a little bit more tropical than you normally get with Pinot Gris or Grigio, the same grape.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
and
it's refreshing.
And why do you think that is? Why do we think we're getting more tropical with this?
I think we have a good sight, and I think we also, the winemaker did age this on the lees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of our employees are like, oh, they're aging it on the leaves. That's cool. The lees are the dead yeast cells that happens during fermentation, so it gives it more body and roundness, mm-hmm, and a little more depth than you would normally expect with Grigio. And I think I call this the life of the party, and since we're starting off with this
I
morning.
I told you, you're my party maker. You
are.
Make it
so
happen.
I lead the way with Pinot Gris.
Excuse me. I'm the life of the party.
I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to
take the life of the party. I said she's the party maker.
Okay,
you can,
right.
We can all call you the life of the party.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So while we're sipping this, let's talk to Allison Victoria. Hiya.
Hiya.
Welcome to the
Foodie
show.
The
thank you.
How
with
did
the
you
wine. I love it.
Get into this whole interior design thing. What happened there?
I always knew I wanted to be a designer. So that was the easy part. But the show was kind of a fluke how I got on. It was an email, random email to over 200 designers in Chicago. And it just said, does anyone want to be on a design show? I wrote yes. And when they said, we want to meet you, I was so excited. Long story short, it was to be a ghost designer, which means I designed for someone else's show because they can't design them all.
Right.
And I was kind of bummed, but I was like, oh, you know, everything's a stepping stone. We'll see what happens. Production really, really liked what I did, mm-hmm, put me on the show. It was on Josh Temple's show called House Crashers.
Sure.
Okay.
So I designed that episode, and then shortly after, they followed me with cameras to Vegas and said, we want to do a really cool hybrid show with you as a designer, but then you as the creative director at a casino. There's so much.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, that doesn't make any sense. What if I become the first female crasher? Because I always want to be the first to do something.
Love that.
And as a tiny lady, mm-hmm, like you,
right,
I just always want to prove, you know, that I can do it. And I can
good
do it as good as a man.
Packages.
Yes, they do. And so there I am.
Well,
okay.
First female crasher. So
all
it
right,
feels
so,
good.
But let's talk about the structure of the show,
yes,
and how that works.
Yes. So, and we were touching on it earlier. So what happens is I go to Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards, mm-hmm, or whatever, any home improvement store. I walk around for 12 hours, seriously run around.
Right.
I mess with people. I joke around with them. I screw around with them and then hope to find somebody that has a bad kitchen.
Okay.
So really it's just, what are you looking for today? How's the kitchen? Even if they're looking for the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's bad enough, we go home with them. So we do a little background.
So you'll go to Home Depot and go home with some stranger?
Oh, yeah. It's fun to go up to the guys.
Some people do that
at
bars.
I just want to say, fellas, you're all going to the wrong store.
No. It was the first season.
Forget the bars.
Yeah.
The bars.
Oh, trust me. It was the first season. And I would just go up and I would just... I
but you had
just,
cameras with you, right?
Yeah. But okay. I would just go up and be like, would you like to take me home with you? And like the guy's like, I don't understand. Is this a trick? Like,
right.
Yes, I'm
Am
married,
I being
but
pumped?
yes. I was like, no, for your kitchen, stupid. Right. So it
How'd
ended
you know
up being
my name
a joke.
Was stupid?
So you go into people's kitchens,
and
but we talked about this off air a little bit. I mean, there are bad kitchens, and then there are
sloppy
people.
Yes.
So how do you handle that?
When I meet you at the home improvement store,
mm-hmm,
I say, let's go. And we walk out the doors and I get in my car, and that's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is I get in my car and I just go right back into my parking spot.
Okay.
And I go back into the store and I keep doing this. Mm-hmm. And then we have them send pictures to make sure it's bad.
Right.
We don't want to drive around all day looking at kitchens that aren't crashable.
Right. That doesn't seem efficient.
No. So if it's crashable, we go back same day. I walk through it. And that's how we weed out the people that are just messy.
Right.
From the people that really have terrible kitchens.
Okay.
From the space planning to the finishes to the function. It's got to be bad.
And then do people just totally put themselves in your hands and
100%.
And you just say, this is what I'm doing. Do you ever have people sort of fight you?
We had one couple in Vegas, and it was out of 62 episodes, only one couple that didn't like what we did. And it was so weird because we do the back. You know what, though, as a designer?
Well, but not only that, when you start off with such a crappy kitchen, you could blow it up. It would
right.
be
and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry we gave you a $70,000 kitchen.
Yeah, for free.
You poor thing.
Right.
You don't like that?
Right.
So I couldn't wait to get off that episode.
You have your own reality show called Up Yours.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of those moments where I was like, you know what? I love what I do, and I'm not going to let you make me not love it.
Right.
But it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
Right?
I would imagine.
You know, but I do my homework. I'm meeting them. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to them. How do you use your space? How do you live in it? Mm-hmm. What do you love? What do you hate? So I can come back and I can give them the perfect space.
At our house, you wouldn't be talking to me.
No, not at all.
No, I already figured that. In 5 minutes, I figured you weren't the one to go to.
So now you're in town today.
Yes.
Let's talk about what you're doing in town.
So I am at the Dulles Expo, and it's a home and remodeling show.
Right. You were there yesterday, too.
Yes, I was there yesterday, and I went on twice, and today, 12:30 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do a presentation on how to create an empowered space.
What does that
mean? So, to me, in a kitchen, especially, a kitchen is the hub of the home.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that don't know how to organize and how to make a home for every item in your kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, it's unorganized, and I feel like you become... At least for me, it's a less healthy lifestyle. Meaning, if I don't know where everything is in the kitchen, I'm probably not going to eat that healthy.
Right.
I'm going to go and I'm going to grab the chips. I'm going to go because that's easy and I got that. But when you organize your drawers, your pantries, and things are efficient, you actually...
He's only
I think,
looking at me because...
Why? Because you do this?
No, I'm extremely
like,
organized.
It's a horrible kitchen, but it's like a government commissary and everything...
Perfect.
I don't let anybody put the groceries away but me.
Labels
because
are all
you know where it goes.
I know where everything goes. Everybody else will just throw stuff in there.
Yep.
I like everything in its place. And this way, when somebody says, where is? I'm like...
Let me get
X
it.
On the wall.
Yeah.
Our son's
exactly.
favorite saying is, "Mom's little, but she's bossy."
Yeah. I'm okay
well, there,
with
we
that.
And I are exactly
I
the same.
I have no problem with being.
I like
bossy.
To tell people how to form and function is what kitchens are about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just showing people quick tips on how to make your kitchen better, and really just every room in the house.
Well, let me jump in with 2 seconds just about the show because while Allison Victoria is there, there apparently are, and we haven't been out there. We're going to try and get out there today. Hundreds. Of home improvement and home remodeling exhibitors for kitchen, bath, stairs, lighting, flooring. So it really, if you've got any problems with your home or you need ideas.
That's the place to be.
Right.
I could walk around there for hours.
So, but when you're doing your presentation, how are you giving people sort of the, are you like trying to inspire them? Do you want them to go to your website? I mean, how can they use the information that you have for them to sort of change what they're doing in
their
homes?
So I saw a lot of people yesterday with notepads. Or their phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not overwhelming them with information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making it fun. I'm making it sticky. I'm making me relatable.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not talking at them. I'm talking with them.
Okay.
So I love the Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
I love to be able to answer anything from show questions to personal questions to whatever, just their own kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what it's all about.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are people like at all over you being like my husband and I are, come to our kitchen.
I never hear that.
No,
it's all I hear. I told Luke, my husband, I said, I'm not going to Christmas this year. And he's like, why? I said, because if your family asks me one more time to crash their kitchen, I'm leaving.
Oh, you're going to lose your mind. All right. We have to take a quick break. But when we get back, I kind of want to talk about, do you miss designing other pieces like living rooms and bedrooms?
Yes.
And do you still do that?
Yes.
What do you like? I want to talk about trends just a little bit.
Yes, I want to talk about all that.
Okay, great. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're talking about home design. We'll be back in just a sec.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Protect yourself against hypothermia and frostbite during cold weather. Wear warm clothing that covers your skin and remove any wet clothing immediately. Limit your time outdoors. Watch for signs of hypothermia and frostbite among elderly adults, babies, people drinking alcohol, and others at risk. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect someone has hypothermia or frostbite. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
What do you want to be when you're older?
When I'm older, I want to be a singer. That's my goal.
An organizer of like do-gooders.
I want to be a media mogul.
When I'm older, I want to be anything but the one that doesn't fit in, the one that people don't love.
Everyone deserves a dream.
But some of us are depressed.
Anxious.
Angry.
Scared.
Don't feel like ourselves.
If that's you, say something.
Talk to someone. People will listen. Add your voice at OKToTalk.org. OKToTalk.org.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, we're back on Fooding the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking to Allison Michelle, who was host of
Allison Michelle.
Allison
that?
Victoria.
Who is
Allison
that?
Allison Michelle actually was a girl I dated in college.
Well, what are you
that's
thinking
something
about?
Something about that. Sorry.
Come on, get with it.
Allison okay. Victoria.
Just so you know, I'm Mrs. Nellis number 3.
You know what happens? They die of exhaustion. But Allison is not only host of Kitchen
exhaustion
Crashers.
Exhaustion is the correct wait, shh, it's the correct word. It's exhaustion.
That wasn't an opening for you. You're not the comedian here. She is host of DIY Network's Kitchen Crashers, and she's in town for the big home remodeling show out at the Dulles Expo Center. See, I did the plug.
You did it.
I did it. So,
and wait, you're going to be on today when?
12:30 and 4.
Okay, so you can all go see her there. But let's talk a little bit about designing trends. Because
yes,
you are an interior designer.
Right.
So right now you're focusing on kitchens. But let's talk about some trends right now for the kitchen, maybe for the living room, for the dining room. Like, what are you loving color-wise? What are you loving product-wise? What's hot for you right now?
For me, you know, everybody asks the question about trends. And for mm-hmm. me, trends are great, mm-hmm. but not necessarily for a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Because a kitchen is the hub of the home, but the most expensive part mm-hmm. of the home. And it costs a lot of money if you stop liking the trend.
Sure.
Right? So Chevron's really hot. Great. Get a Chevron backsplash.
Right.
Don't necessarily do a Chevron floor
mm-hmm.
because the Chevron backsplash
can
be easier, or wallpaper, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be easier to replace mm-hmm. versus a floor. So consider where you're putting this trend and how expensive it is going to be to change it.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, we have friends that change their... One friend in particular, they change their kitchen about every 2 years.
But they have more money than
you
got.
Oh, there you go.
But I mean, that's a really good tip, because a lot of people get caught up in what's trendy, and then 3 years later, they're looking at it.
Like, oh, I hate that leopard print backsplash.
Right.
That's terrible.
What about in the appliances area? Like, what are some of the appliances that you're seeing now that you're like, I love this.
What I love right now, because appliances are appliances, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's cool about them is the Venta hoods. So Gen Air has something really cool and out of this world. Where have you seen them? Where the cooktop is in the island, and you've got the push button,
yeah,
and the vent comes up,
that, yeah,
and it just blows air around, and your mm-hmm. house smells like crap,
right.
Or not crap, bacon. I
right.
don't care, whatever.
Right.
But that is just recirculating. The one from Gen Air, you have to have space in your island, so you've got to get it built correctly.
Sure.
But it's like a full coverage, so it like comes up, spans up, and over the cooktop.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, it's expensive. It's like $9,000.
Wow.
But it's the coolest. The other thing, as far as appliances go, microwave drawers. Everybody needs a microwave. You might not use it all that often,
right.
But it's in the
really?
Way.
Right.
It's on the counter. It's taking up prep space.
Right.
It's over the range, which I
right.
hate. you know, but I get it. We all have...
We have hearts in the laundry room. We never use
it. No, see? But you sometimes, you need
it. Once in a while, I plug it
in. So to actually build it into your cabinets or your island or wherever, and you push a button and it kind of rolls out and goes in. It's hidden, but it's still there.
I love that. That's a great one.
I love that.
All right, I got to jump in. Unfortunately, we got to move on. Go see Alice and Victoria out at the Dulles Expo Center today. Don't go see Alice and Michelle. She's 64
years old. No, see Alice and Victoria.
Old, dead, probably. And
watch Kitchen Crashers.
Yeah, I want to know. Give up.
Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
On DIY. On DIY Network, and then Saturdays on HGTV.
Excellent. All right. Yeah. Thanks for coming
Thank you for
today.
Having
Have
me.
Fun
and
today.
It was great.
Still drinking.
Keep drinking, because we're going to go back to Michelle, the other Michelle in my life, and Jade. You know, we've done a couple of remotes down at Early Mountain Vineyard, but they've really been kind of in season. What goes on there during kind of the dead of the winter? What sort of stuff do you have going on?
Dead of the winter is probably one of the most beautiful times also with the snowfall. We have music every Friday.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
Throughout the weekend. We're open late on Friday nights until 8 o'clock. We have a restaurant on site. I mentioned that over 8,000 square foot space. We have a marketplace and a restaurant supporting local farmers and local products. So we're a little bit unique. And our tasting room does something a little bit different in the way we present wines. We, in addition to the wines that we produce, we showcase and feature wines from throughout the state that we think really show the quality and the momentum forward with this Virginia wine.
Is that by Virginia?
By Virginia, yes.
Yeah.
But although I do a lot of, I'm a sommelier, so I do a lot of educational tastings. Mm-hmm. I'm planning one the end of February with sake, rice wine. So we do incorporate other educational initiatives. Mm-hmm. But in the tasting room, we feature Virginia wines and our state wines as well.
And how do you go about selecting, because Virginia has so many wines and wineries. I mean, there's new ones cropping up all the time. How do you go about selecting the vineyards that you feature?
It's a process, but we do rely on recommendations from even Dave McIntyre has given me some recommendations.
Okay, from the Washington Post.
Yes, Dave McIntyre and the Washington Post and others in the industry. I used to work in Northern Virginia, D.C., which is how I knew Nikki and David, actually. I used to live, walk, and breathe the list Are You On It when it first came into fruition.
You should still.
Well, I still do now. I was just saying I moved away out of state and came back.
Yeah, there's something called the internet.
David. I kept on board with it. I really did.
Just making sure.
I did. So there's many. There's over 240 wineries now in the state. Myself and my team, we go out and we seek to taste as many wines as we can throughout the year. I'm always looking for partners to travel on food and wine. So if you're interested, just
all right. Well, listen, we're going to talk more about that because I think the Buy Virginia
just
program is great.
Tell us quickly what you poured.
This is the Block 11 White Blend. And speaking about trends,
you know what? We have to cut you off because we've got Joan Nathan on
absolutely.
The phone, and we'll get back to
that. That's
after.
All right. Okay, hold that thought.
Hold that thought. Absolutely.
Hey, Joan, are you there?
Hi.
Well, hi, Joan. How are you?
So on the phone.
How are you?
We're good.
We
got Joan Nathan, who is a world famous Jewish cookbook author. James Beard Award winner, everything. Uh-oh.
Hello?
Can you hear us? Uh-oh.
Oh, shit.
Oh!
Hello?
Well, hit that button.
Hello?
Joan, yeah, we're here. I think we're going to call Joan back. Yeah. All right, we're going to try her back. Apologies for that. I think she got a little frustrated.
Yes, she did. All right, well, so.
Should I talk about booze again?
Yeah, talk
let's
about
go back
booze
to
again.
So we
get Andy, you want to try her back again? Okay.
Yeah, well, okay. So actually, to piggyback on the conversation around trends, I believe blending is trending in wines. This is a white blend. It's a higher-end white blend. And, you know, with wine trends, fortunately, this costs more like $22 rather than the $20,000 investment in your kitchen. But this is a blend you might not normally come across. It's mainly Petit Mensang, which is not a
grape that you normally hear.
No, you don't. You hear it in Jurançon, a region in France, which normally produces a dessert wine. But it's natural sugars and high acidity do really well here in Virginia, and it's blended with a little bit of Muscat in this version of our Block 11 white blend.
It's delicious. All right. Well, while we're waiting for Joan, John, we got you sitting right here. Why don't we just dig into you?
All right.
You have food to prepare and bring in, but we're going to talk about what John Mooney is doing. John Mooney just opened a brand new restaurant called Bidwell at the very, very hot Union Market downtown in D.C. And you actually came out of New York, but you were in D.C. for a while at Red Sage. So why don't you give us your 411? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I want to say, by the way, that when we were dating and dining at Red sage. You were probably cooking our food, so God bless you, mate.
Maybe I had something to do with that.
You might have. You made her the luckiest woman in the world.
Right. I could either blame you or not.
Yeah, sure. Go both ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I did work in D.C. in the mid-90s mm-hmm. at Red Sage. Met a lot of great guys.
Where are you from originally?
Chicago.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
That's coming up a lot.
I know.
Yeah.
Chicago town.
And then you went to culinary school and went to work with Mark?
Yeah, I went to culinary school in Chicago, and then I actually worked in Dallas, Texas, and a crew of us came up here to D.C. to work at Red Sage.
Okay.
All right. And then what?
New York and all over the place, pretty much. But New York's been my residence since the late 90s, but I lived in India. Ireland, and I worked for Drew Nieperent and Robert De Niro's restaurant group up in New York for about 10 years.
Well, so let's talk about your restaurant in New York.
Sure.
So you have this restaurant right now up in the city. It's
3 years old. It's in the mm-hmm. West Village.
Right.
It's called
Bell Book and Candle.
Yeah, Bell Book and Candle.
Mm-hmm. And what's the concept? Tell us a little bit about it, because I think it relates to Bidwell, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Bidwell and Bell Book and Candle, I call them sisters now.
Okay.
So we have a rooftop garden. Mm-hmm. We use interesting technology, aeroponics, requires no soil, and that's right on the roof.
You
right.
have to explain that.
We want to get into aeroponics.
Yeah. Sure.
So let's explain first. Do you want to get in? Might as well get right
yeah,
there.
I mean,
let's get
you know,
into aeroponics.
It's such an interesting way of going.
How it do, is.
What's the range of vegetables you can grow with aeroponics, and how do you do it?
I can grow anything except roots and tubes. So onions, carrots, beets, things like that.
Anything that has to be in the soil.
Right.
Okay. But anything on a vine?
Yeah, vines are great.
You can grow tomatoes in the air?
Oh, yeah.
How?
Well, there's a system. It's made out of food-grade plastic, actually.
It's like a structure, right?
Right. And so that basically gives the vegetables something to grow their roots into.
Mm-hmm. But it's just in a fortified water? Is that it?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So how did you get into aeroponics? I mean, was that something you were really hot on and wanted to do? Like, how did you get involved with it?
Well, I had done a bunch of conventional farming projects, and I actually owned a plantation in Florida.
Okay.
In 06, 07, 08.
What kind of plantation did you own?
Well, it was a restaurant, a big wedding destination. It
okay.
was a plantation.
Cool.
Okay,
so
cool.
We had a bunch of acreage. I was trying to grow all my own vegetables, and mm-hmm. it was proved to be very challenging.
I bet.
There's a lot of challenges in Florida with disease and pests and things.
I was going to say, and bugs.
I randomly found the inventor of the system I do now at a farmer's market.
Okay.
And tested it in Florida, worked really good. And then I had already had my location to build Bell Book and Candle. Mm-hmm. And then the pieces just came together. So I tested that system for a year in a small setting. And then...
So is it a greenhouse at Bell Book and Candle? Or
no.
is it just completely outdoors?
It's outdoors. You're subject to the same elements as conventional farming. You're just controlling it better.
What happens in the winter?
I shut it down.
Oh, really?
So it's not greenhoused?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I could.
Would you greenhouse it?
I would, but I have a landmark building. I can't add structure to it. It's a 100-year-old building.
All right. So let's talk about. Now you're planning on doing the same sort of system here at Union Market.
It's all ready to go. Equipment's all there.
Because I did have for a while, like before the restaurant was constructed, like a couple of those planters.
Right. As a demonstration. Right.
As a demo.
We did a dinner and try to introduce.
There.
Yeah.
Great.
so you saw. You know, it kind of requires a first-hand experience to understand that system.
Right.
But the basics is we grow vertically, so we manage space better.
Mm-hmm.
You can produce a lot in a small area, and the use of dead space is what makes it more interesting because we can grow our vegetables
what
right on location.
What does it cost to set something like that up? I mean, it sounds like a whole Lego project.
If you were going to do it in your home, one of those towers, you could grow a considerable amount. $500 is your initial investment.
Really?
But so now that you're doing that, like, let's talk about the kind of vegetation that you will be growing down
sure.
here. So what are we looking at? Are we looking at tomatoes? Are we looking at what
loads
herbs?
Of tomatoes,
I mean,
loads of different varieties. I like to grow exotic things.
Okay, like?
Well, the name of Bidwell is an heirloom melon.
Right,
I'll grow them there.
Okay.
We grow loads of cantaloupes, French melons, watermelons, bunch of varieties. I grow cucumbers, zucchini, all the herbs.
So let me ask you, you know, in the summer, there's nothing better still, excuse me, around here than a Jersey tomato.
Sure.
I mean, they're like, it's like.
I mean, you have to go up to Jersey to get the tomatoes.
But can get them here. So what are you getting? Like,
what are you asking?
I guess I'm asking what sort of quality, what level of, in particular, because tomatoes are hard.
Well, here's the thing. My tomatoes are grown for consumption, not for transport. You're still bringing them down from Jersey. Mine are coming right off the vine. You're eating them that day in my restaurant.
Awesome.
And what, so are you looking, but do they still have the flavor and texture?
Absolutely.
Without the soil?
Yeah, it's absolutely. They take what they need, mm-hmm. the suspension elements, the nutrients in the liquid, the vegetables take what they need.
Okay. All right, we have to take a quick break.
Sure,
when we get back,
really
let's
cool.
dive into Bidwell. Let's talk about what you're serving there, what people can look for there.
Sure.
And how the restaurant's going to grow once it gets nice out and you have a patio.
Great.
All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're talking about Bidwell and Union Market. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide. But only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com. Imagine someday is today. And envision a world without cancer on Saturday, March 22nd, 2014, at the annual Leukemia Ball presented by Pharma. One of D.C.'s largest and most anticipated non-political black tie galas, the Leukemia Ball brings together influential businessmen and women for the fight against blood cancer. Featuring a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. With music by Grammy Award-winning band Huey Lewis and the News and a comedic performance by Ryan Hamilton, 2,000 guests will enjoy a night to remember. There are more than 19,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending this can't-miss event. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit leukemiaball.org.
Hey, it's David and Nikki Nellis.
Yep.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast. We're talking to John Mooney of Bidwell, which just opened up at Union Market, and about aeroponics, which is a whole way of growing
vegetation.
Essentially growing veggies in the air. With some plastic
in the water.
Support. Air and water.
Right.
And fortified water. Talk about your menu down there. Tell us, give us an idea of what's
about
going
Bidwell.
On at Bidwell.
At Bidwell, I dedicate pretty much the whole food program to American food.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I pull from the regions of America, but I do it in my own way.
Okay.
I mean, I had a lot of roots in Southwest food, even when I was in Red Sage and stuff like that. I mean, I like the regions of America. And, it's pretty friendly, pretty straightforward. I like ingredient-focused, so it's not overcomplicated or very manipulated food.
Mm-hmm.
I like to showcase a lot of things that I would grow, and I do grow throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of variety, kind of a large menu, very social, where there's a lot of plates you can share or smaller plates where you can have more quantity and a little bit more fun.
Well, let's talk about, so now that we can, since you're not growing your own, are you just working, like, are you working with the vendors in the market? I mean, you have such great people doing such amazing things there. How do you work with the people there?
Well, they're a great resource. I mean, there's a lot of things coming in the market.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the vendors are retailing, but I mean, we have that place is kind of like a hub, so
right.
If it's not in the market, we can get it.
I mean, do you use Rappahannock oysters or the meats from Nate Anda and those guys?
Yeah, Harvey's. Harvey's brings lots of great stuff, and we use direct contacts through them. Righteous Cheese.
Right, she's got incredible.
Great
Carolyn's
stuff.
Got great
Carolyn's
stuff.
Great. Yeah, we get spices. We do use some of the veg there, too.
Okay.
So, but when you came back to D.C. to do all this, did you try and reconnect with other resources you had used at Red Sage, or are there new ones that you're
it's
finding?
It's been a while, but within the market sourcing, I use all those guys as references, and I use product, and it's a great place to be if you run out of something and you're a restaurant opening.
You brought, right, exactly. I mean, not to mention, I mean, people are already there.
Right.
So, and given how the layout of Union Market is, there's only a few sit-down
right.
like places like Rappahannock,
sure.
now Bidwell, you know, Red Apron. But there's not a lot of places where you can sit and eat. It's more pick up.
Exactly.
So how do you incorporate that into what you're doing? Like we were talking about this earlier with your outdoor seating.
Sure.
How much outdoor seating do you think you'll have?
Well, I'm going to try to put as much as I can because I think people really are attracted to that.
Yes.
And we do have that space out in front. I mean, I don't want to be the only one doing my full service there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I need to share with everyone in the market. But what I would like to see is everybody who comes there being able to use the market and use the outdoor space and really enjoy the whole feel of that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge amount of foot traffic there. It makes me feel good being foresighted and opening a full service restaurant in the market. It's nice to see how much people actually turn up.
Let's talk about the food you brought in today before we bring Frederick Dupuy on.
I brought two varieties of the same dish. One is a vegetarian option, and the other one has a homemade chorizo I make in house there.
Oh, cool. Now, are you finding that there's lots of vegetarians? Like, or is that a big ask?
In general.
Okay.
You get a lot of gluten free, dairy free, and vegetable oriented diets, you know, it's just the way things go. So I like to give the options. I'm proactive in anticipating that. Mm-hmm. So what we have here is it's pinto beans cooked in beer. There's some cilantro and shallots and tomatoes marinated in sherry vinegar with some goat cheese. And then the meat option has the homemade chorizo I made.
Yeah.
And then grilled flatbread here.
That sounds delicious.
Gee, I guess I could put my fork in either one of those.
I hear the forks coming out now.
You hear quivering in my hand like a...
There you go.
You can have pizza.
And are you guys, thank you. Are you guys doing brunch?
Oh, yes, actually, today.
Today's first brunch?
And then we'll start doing it Saturday, Sunday next week, and lunch this Wednesday.
It's also really pretty.
It is very pretty. Well, I'm going to take a picture of it. All right. Well, while David's digging into that, we're going to ask you to stay here because since we lost Joe Nathan, we do want to talk about Sips and Sups. You're participating for the first time this year.
I am. Thank God I got in.
Yeah, right? So we're going to talk about that at the end of the show. So let's bring on Frederick Dupuy. Frederick, come on.
Hey, Frederick.
Have a seat.
So, Frederick, on January 24th, he's opening Menu MBK, which means Market Bar Kitchen.
What is it? Bistro bar. You don't know what it means. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Bar, same thing.
Yes, thank you. Well, we have a triple concept restaurant that's going to be opening up in the next coming weeks. And the great part of it is that we have this fantastic building in Penn Quarter that has the main floor we're going to do full farmer markets, where we have a huge production of our own products, to-go dishes. We work with local suppliers.
That's
like
going to be on the ground floor.
Yeah, that's the full ground floor.
Okay.
And then you go up a level, and then where our kitchen is, we're going to have a 6-seat kitchen restaurant where we have just 2 seating a night. And we go up with the concept that we take 5 seasonal ingredients and we make a menu out of that. So it could be that duck would be a main course, different every day, what I feel like. And we make it really also reasonable in pricing. It's not going to be that very expensive.
One menu.
Yeah.
Five courses. And it's one price.
It's one price, $65.
That's very cool.
And it's 2 seatings a night. It's only 12 seats. And you sit in front of us. And it's kind of fun because it's everybody.
That's on that second floor.
At the second floor.
Okay. And are you using the third floor?
And then the third floor becomes where there used to be the famous mini bar.
Right.
That is our bar.
Wait, that's the third floor? What about that top floor?
We have 4 floors.
All right. Okay. Sorry. For those who don't know the space we're talking about, it was the former Cafe Atlantico space.
Indeed.
It's 8th Street, right?
It's 8th Street, D&E. And so the thing is that we wanted to create something where you come and it's the same way we did with table in a way.
Okay.
It's a really home feel. We have now the third floor who's a bistro bar with sofa seating, comfortable coffee tables, 6 seats at the bar, a big bench, and just sit back, relax, have great wine, beer.
How I feel about table. I love table.
Thank you very much. And you go up 6
What a suck up. Jeez.
I'm not
and
a then, up. If I don't like it, I don't say anything. That's how you know the truth.
And then we have our bistro actually upstairs where it's 4 prices.
Okay.
It's either $8, $15, $18, or $25. And the main courses are either $18 or $25.
Okay.
And the first courses are $8 or $15.
Wow.
And we do
I've never heard of anybody with an a la carte menu.
But I think it's fun because it's like you create a straightforward concept that people understand. They come in and it's something that we can play with. You can have escargots. We're going to have veal meatballs that I believe you're trying.
Are you kidding? David's like hoarding them.
These are yummy.
But that we're going to be serving in our to-go foods in the market.
All right, so let's start back down in the market again.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the to-go foods. I mean, is this a place where we can pick up things to take home for dinner? Is this a place where we're taking up components to make dinner?
It's
what
both.
Is it?
It's both. So the concept that we had is we were looking with we're working with Bounty Hill Farms in Pennsylvania to bring our vegetables. So you can buy the raw product and go home and cook it yourself.
Okay.
Or you're in a hurry, you don't want to cook that night.
So are you going to have meat and fish?
We have meat, fish, we're going to have cheeses, charcuterie. We have Jason doing the full bakery.
Oh, you mean charcuterie?
Charcuterie, yeah. Indeed.
David.
Make sense.
Speak English, boy.
He's such a jerk.
It's my Belgium accent.
No.
And we really come up to like, and it's from everything. We want to have wine, beer, we're going to have that. So you really kind of come in. Grab your cheese, have your to-go food that's ready. You have friends coming over, you get meatballs, and it's accessible to every single level of what, you know, spending. Mm-hmm. You can come in and buy something, a sandwich just made in front of you for, you know, $8, walk away, have a bag of chip, or you can grab a coffee and you can have literally shop for your full menu.
Okay, so
you can spend the whole day there and just go up and down.
Exactly, that's what I do.
You put an escalator in. You put an escalator in, I'm there, okay?
No, you get your exercise.
I don't want no exercise.
This is our gym out. This,
no
when
thanks.
When we have new staff coming in, they're like, oh, I go to the gym every day. It's like, yeah, that's going to stop you. Just walk up and down.
Put a lift outside for me and just, you know.
When Andy laughs, you know it's really funny because he never laughs.
Yeah, no sense of humor.
Right. Are you going to be open? That's so mean. So is the market open all day?
Market's going to be open 12 hours a day from 9 to 9.
9 to 9, okay.
So we want to give also the opportunity to people that dine upstairs. Mm-hmm. They might have discovered something. They have a great product and they can buy those.
Baked goods down there too?
Baked goods. We have a full bakery downstairs. Jason.
Can you open in Kensington, Maryland? You're so far away from me.
We'll work on that.
So the market's open from 9 to 9.
Yeah, 9 to 9.
And then the second level's open.
The second level. So the kitchen, called the kitchen concept, will be open only at night.
Okay.
And 5 days a week.
And you've got Jason... it's pronounced Gehring, right?
Gehring, Jason Gehring from...
to do all your pastries.
Yeah, from who used to be formerly at Astro Donut. Yeah.
Right.
He's fantastic. He's made the cookies.
He's been in studio before. He's terrific.
Yeah, and the cookies you're having now.
Do you want some cookies?
The chocolate chip pistachio and...
I don't think she bit it.
No, I didn't bite it. And even if I did, I don't have cooties.
No.
But we want to do also... We want to do also like a fun bakery where you have the cookies and all those kind of things. We will do... We're not going to go really with the croissants and the chocolate croissant and all that. We want to do kind of things that people really grab in the morning and go that they're everybody's familiar with. From the meatballs, it's from Chapel Hill, from Virginia. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful product. And it's all organic product that we're going through the store.
Terrific.
All
and
right,
then,
so talk
wait,
about
okay,
well,
go ahead.
Table. Because you just celebrated your first anniversary.
Yeah, it's our anniversary
which is a
weekend.
Accomplishment because most businesses don't, and you've done very well there.
It's a fantastic. It feels really home every single time.
The table's in Shaw,
and that's in Shaw District. Yeah. It's a wonderful neighborhood. First of all, I think I'm so pleased to be there, and one of the first restaurants where you can really go in
and
bring ground. It's amazing what's going on now across the street. You have a construction going on 2 blocks down, another block down. It's just around us. It's everywhere they're building. And Table has become that, you know, it's our baby. It's like that restaurant where people just come and have a great time. They sit back, relax. The patio in the summer is fantastic. And we're making a change to that for the next summer as well.
Well, I have to be honest. What kind of change are you making? Don't change it too much.
No, we make it better.
He's going to start calling it Tabla.
We make it better. We'll make it better.
Well, I think what's fascinating about, are we calling it Table or Tabla? What are we calling it these days?
I chose names that you can pronounce in any language. So if
you mean like charcuterie
or Table, sounds the same.
Okay.
But I say Table, I say Table. It's really up to the
talk about the menu there because it's very easygoing sort of European country.
Yeah, we really work again. The same thing what we're going to do at menu is we work what we have available on the market. We're not going to do gazpacho now and those kind of things. So now for our first year celebration, we brought on back our initial menu that we started with. I think it's kind of fun to go back because we're changing the menu every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we bring our initial things back and people really came back and reserving for that because they had in memory that wild boar bolognese that we had on the menu, the venison stew with the persimmons and carrot puree.
It has a very, you tell me if I'm incorrect in this, but I felt like when I ate there, it had a very sort of Scandinavian feel in there. Like everything is very clean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very clean, like esoteric kind of feeling, like just the way the servers are, which they're wonderful. Mm-hmm. And I know David hasn't been there, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
I'm just trying to understand an esoteric feeling.
But, you know, it just feels... Well, if you had gone,
I think it's
maybe
a natural wood color that makes that a little bit. And
do you know
what I'm
saying?
The bare concrete floors
in the
garage.
But even the presentation, the way everything is very clean. It's not overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. It just feels very fresh, and clearly you're using really incredible ingredients, and that comes through. And that's why I love the space there. And mm-hmm. I think the roof deck is gorgeous.
I think also some dishes. I mean, you don't require to have 25 ingredients on a dish to make it great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the cuisine that we kind of approach and going for. It's like it's sometimes just like this. We put a spaghetti bolognese of boar on the menu.
Yum.
And people just go for it. And simultaneously, we have the braised pork belly with clams
mm-hmm.
and bok choy. And it's a dish that we had last year. We just brought it on for restaurant week. And mm-hmm. it's been fantastic. People just go for it.
Oh, we leave here, we're going to make a run at Bidwell and a run at Cobbler.
We have a lot of eating to do. All right. We have to take a quick break.
Yep.
When we get back, we are going to give everybody your 411 on where they can find both places. Yep. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Sips and Sups.
Right.
And finish up with Early Mountain Vineyard. This is David and Nikki Nellis. We'll be right back.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
For over a century, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington has served the youth in our nation's capital. The club's new STEAM initiative uses the arts to teach science, technology, engineering, and math. Today, more than ever, we need your support of STEAM. It will encourage our youth to think rather than memorize, create rather than copy, and to be resourceful rather than reserved. So visit boysandgirlsclubs.org. Send a dollar or more as an investment to help us help our kids pick up STEAM. Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Washington, great futures start here.
This message is brought to you by GEICO and Federal News Radio.
When I served in Iraq and Afghanistan, my buddies and I would do anything for each other. That's important whether you're in a firefight or fighting to regain your life. When I came home injured, there are people I can count on, like DAV.
DAV, Disabled American Veterans, stands behind America's veterans to make their transition back home easier with free services and help getting the benefits they've earned. Help us fulfill the promise to our men and women who served. Go to DAV.org to learn more.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, we're back on Fooding the Beast with David and the talkative Nikki Nellis. And before I get back to the show, I just want to thank the people that sponsor us and make sure we stay alive and we're here and that like us. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, the whole Black's Restaurant Group, the mm-hmm. whole Neighborhood Restaurant Group,
mm-hmm.
all 2,000 restaurants or whatever they got now. Our friends at Early Mountain Vineyard that happen to be in here today, the Virginia Wine Board.
Oh, can we give a shout out to Jeff Black's new restaurant, Republic?
Yes.
Just got a nice review today, so congrats
nice.
On
Nice, way
that.
To go, Jeff.
Yep.
Who tried to guest host for me when I was out getting my knee fixed, but, you know.
He did do it.
There's no replacement for the real thing.
I am, well,
and the American Land Board and Border Springs Farm, Craig Rogers, the world's greatest sheep farmer.
He's lovely.
He is lovely. So we got John Mooney in here from Bidwell. We got mm-hmm. Frederick DePue in here from Tabla, Table, everything. And the folks from Early Mountain Vineyard. And
we have to let Frederick tell everybody where Table is and Menu
we did
is.
That.
No, we did not. That's why he's going to do it.
Not the actual street address
in
Shaw.
The address and all the right. website.
Go
it's
ahead.
Important.
Yes. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So Table is at 9 Street, on the corner of 9th Street and N. So it's mm-hmm. 903 N Street in mm-hmm. Shaw District. And Menu MBK is due to open this week on the 24th.
Great.
And that's on 405 8th Street in Penn Quarter.
And just to recap on Menu, mm-hmm. the downstairs, the bakery, that'll open at 9 on
yeah,
the 24th.
9 o'clock on the 24th.
And the restaurant?
The restaurant upstairs is a week later.
Okay.
It's the 31st.
Okay, and then the
and
top.
Then the kitchen, that's the second one to open is the bistro bar.
Okay.
And then the kitchen, the 6 seats, is going to be in a month.
Okay.
Once we have everything under control.
Okay, great. Okay, well, I think that the secondary concept sounds really interesting. Yeah. I'm
bistro bar is fantastic.
It.
It's look really online. Fun. We have pictures on it. It looks like your living room. And
I can't wait
it's
to
really
see
fantastic.
It. Congratulations.
Maybe it'll become our living room. We don't know.
Well, you have to go up the stairs, though.
Well, don't leave the microphone because we were going to have Joan Nathan on, and she was about to get on a plane, and we lost her there after some deleted expletives. But Sips and Sups is coming up. It's the 6th anniversary of this event. Jose Andres, Joan, and Alice Waters created it during President Obama's first inauguration with the idea of drawing attention to, you know, and to raising funds for poverty and hunger and healthy food accessibility in the community. The beneficiaries are D.C. Central Kitchen and Miriam's Kitchen and
Martha's Table.
Martha's Table. This is at Miriam again. Miriam, get away. But the point is that what they did was they started out with a kind of a one-shot deal, and it's become this institutional event that grows every year. And in fact, we have many of the
Actually, everybody in studio is participating.
Early Mountain Vineyards is the wine sponsor. Along with somebody else?
Yes. We're the wine sponsor for the VIP event.
Right, for the VIP reception.
Well, for people who don't know, it started off as suppers, and they brought in chefs from all over the world to come in to cook these very high-priced dinners on the Sunday night before inauguration, and they paired them with local chefs, and they brought in all this fabulous local product, and it raised a tremendous amount of money for DC Central Kitchen and Martha's Table. And then it was so successful that they decided to do it again the following year, and that's when they brought in the Saturday night Sips. And this is a lower priced event where people can go around and try different foods from local artisans, fabulous wines. It's at the museum.
Correct.
And
On
the 25th. So the Saturday evening before. And everybody who's participating, Alice Waters is going to be there, Joan Nathan, Jose Andre, everybody is going to be there. And it's
Plus Eric Asimov, who's the chief wine critic at the New York Times, which I think is a pretty big deal for.
It's a very big deal, I think.
All right, so let's talk about the VIP section, because that is sort of a recent addition. Tell
Correct.
Us a little bit
the
about
SIPS
that.
The SIPS event is $95 a ticket.
Okay.
For, you know, you get to do a lot of tastes from chefs and mixologists, renowned mixologists around locally.
Mm-hmm.
But the VIP event is an hour beforehand. I believe it starts about 6:30, and it's $200 a person, but you have the personal. That's where Eric Asimov, the New York Times wine critic, and Alice Waters. Mm-hmm. Who is, you know, if you don't know Alice Waters, then don't come.
She's a mother of organic eating, really.
Right.
So you have the personal one-on-one with her. It's limited to 100 people, too, so that the tickets are, I don't think they're sold out yet. I know the website is sipsandsuppers.org,
mm-hmm.
and that's where you can book tickets for the regular, which will be a great demonstration from chefs and mixologists, or the VIP section where we'll be pouring Early Mountain, the Block 11 blend that I call the Nectar of the Gods, but we call the Nectar of the
delicious.
Chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And then RDV, this Rendezvous, their Bordeaux blend, which is acclaimed.
Terrific.
And as I said,
I mean, when
earlier,
we were at Lambstock, RDV, you know, the Virginia Wine Board was there.
Yeah.
And they were really showcasing RDV.
Yes.
And I mean, with good reason. I mean, it's really spectacular.
It's amazing what he's done with Bordeaux blends in Virginia in the last several years.
So will you guys be talking at the VIP section? Tell us what you'll be doing.
We'll be pouring wines, mm-hmm. and talking about our concept and about Virginia wines and the resurgence of this region as a region to be contended with,
mm-hmm.
in terms of quality across the international at the international level.
Mm-hmm.
And you will have, as I said, Alice Waters and Eric Asimov there as well, mingling with the 100 guests.
Okay.
And Jade may or may have not put together some good swag.
Yeah, there's really good swag for those guests, and also. Both Eric
swag.
And Alice.
We love swag.
I know. And Eric and Alice are also releasing their books, too. So guests will be walking out with their books, and they'll have a signing. So it's a real treat to have access to these, you know, top-noted food and wine folks.
Fantastic.
For these guests.
Now, just very quickly, John Mooney, you're participating for your first time this year.
I am, yes.
So where are you? Are you doing one of the dinners on Sunday, or are you participating at SIPS?
I'm doing
the Saturday night.
Yeah, the tasting part. Saturday night, yeah.
Okay, so are you going to give out little tastes?
Yes.
Do you know what you're doing yet?
I am. I do know, yes.
Are you going to tell us? Or are you going to keep it a secret?
Wait a minute. Frederick's got a notepad and a pen out.
I'm going to keep it in suspense. Or should I?
You can tell us.
Come
sure.
On. I'm going to do a lobster taco with avocado. Ooh. Your avocado.
Yeah, for my girlfriend. You got
avocado and tomatillo salsa.
That sounds fantastic. Okay, and Chef Frederick Depew, you
wait,
were
wait,
also...
Wait, wait, can I just... Is that an aeroponically grown avocado?
No, it's not. No trees out of the aeroponic system. Okay,
you're also participating. You will not be at SIPS, but you will instead...
Suppers.
Yeah. So who are you partnered with?
So it's Sebastien Archambault of the Blue Duck.
Oh, fantastic.
Both of us, we're going to do dinner for about 20 to 30 people. Looking forward, it's really great, because it was very easy for us to put the menu together. So we do both two dishes, and then together we're going to go for the cheeses and appetizers. So
what are you serving?
We're going to do our black truffle crudité for
sounds
the first.
Sounds horrible.
Mm-hmm. Sounds what really else? Horrible. Yeah. And then the main course that we are in charge of is going to be the venison and bison. So it's a combination of both.